study in Hebrew?
Hi, welcome to Hebrew Club on this second to last day of the quarter. Beautiful February day. Hope you guys are all doing well. Hanging in there. Ready to go almost through the gauntlet here, right? This is a long quarter because it's a three-week Christmas thing and it's cold and all that. So anyway, I'm glad you guys are all here. We are on 1 Samuel chapter 22. And remember, we finished the paragraph at the end of verse 17. And Saul was determined to kill all the priests of the Lord who were serving at Nob. Remember, Nob, just so we keep this map kind of in the middle and you guys can refer to it because we'll be looking at some stuff. So he had gotten all the priests back to Gibeah and was asking Ahimelech about David, and he accused Ahimelech of holding out on him and not revealing stuff. So he ordered his men to strike all the priests, but they wouldn't lay a hand on him. And that's where we ended up at the end of verse 17. All right. See, notice the last line. Velo avu, avde hamelech. The king, the servants of the king were not willing, lishloch et yadam, to send out their hand, lip goa, to strike or to fall upon the Kohanim, probably to strike against the priests of Yahweh. All right? So we take it up at verse 18, and we get our character Doeg, and here's where he enters instantly. Vayomer HaMelech LaDoeg. Then the king said to Doeg, remember he was the Edomite, so he wasn't Israel, but he was Edomite. Sovata Ufaga BaKohanim. Turn, this is from Savav. Okay, notice it's a double I and a geminate root, so this is just a call imperative. Turn ata, you turn. Upega, another imperative. And smite Kohanim, smite the priests. Okay? Vayesob Doeg ha-Edomi, so Doeg turned. This is again a call from Savav. So Doeg turned, Doeg the Edomite turned. Vayifkahu ba-Kohanim. And he struck, he himself, notice the who, probably gives emphasis to the subject. He himself, or maybe he alone, maybe he himself struck Kohanim, the priest. So notice the priests were probably pretty much helpless, not armed. Okay. Vayamet bayom ha'u shemonim v'chamesha ish nose ephod bad. Okay. And he killed from Mut, here's a hifil, vav, consecutive imperfect, and he smote, killed, bayom hahu, on that day, shemonim, 80 vachamisha, 80 and 5 ish, men. Remember again, with numbers, very often you get the singular of words like ish and ben. So 85 men. No say, here's a call, a participle. Notice the subject is still ish. So he killed 85 men, those who carried, nasa, those who carried the ephod of bod, the ephod of linen. Bod is, remember, bod has several meanings. You see it most common in levad alone. Here's a different meaning for the root badad, to be alone. But maybe a different meaning for that root means linen. So the ephod of linen. So notice it identifies the priests as those who carried the ephod. Okay? Questions about verse 18? Yes.
Is Pagah usually with ba as a direct
object? It seems to be. I mean, it's not that common of a word, but here you see it, and you'll see the bait in a couple other words as well. It's a good question because it'd be interesting to do a study on what prepositions follow verbs. I'm sure people have done that, but it is more widespread than you think. I looked up something else here later on, and when I run across it, I'll recall what it is, just to see the frequency with which something like that happens. Any other questions? Verse 19. Ve'et nov ir ha-kohanim hikalefi cherev me'ish ve'adisha. Okay. And Nob. Notice Nob is now going to be a direct object. You can see by the 8. And Nob, the city of the priests, hika, he struck. So notice it fronts the entire verb, and again, the emphasis goes, so you didn't just kill the priest whom he seemed to have gathered at Gibeah. If you remember at that map, on that map, Nob was close to Gibeah. So the priests all went to Gibeah where Saul was, killed him. Then he must have gone to the city of Nob, and he struck Lepi-Cherub by the edge of the sword. So Nob, the city of the priest, he struck with the edge of the sword. Me'ish, from man ve'adisha, from man unto woman. Me'olel, from child, a young child, ve'ad yonek, from young child to yonek, the nursing one, the infant. Okay. Ve'shor v'chamor v'aseh lefichareb, and oxen and chamor, donkey and set, sheep with the edge of the sword. Killed all of them.
Seems like he would get tired killing all those people.
Gruesome. Yes. Yeah. All right. Any questions through 19? All right. Here's where we get a new character. Vayimelech ben Echad la'Achimelech ben Achitu Ushmo Evyatar. Okay. And escape. That's from Malat and Niphal. It always occurs in the Niphal when it's intransitive. Okay, now notice this next form. It's rather unusual. This is one of them I looked up just for fun. Vayimalate, escape. Bain Echad, one son. Notice what's unusual about it. You have them connected by that makeif. Usually when you connect it by a makeif, what's going to happen to the bain? The accent's going to jump over to the next word. The bain's going to shorten to ben, right? Because they're in close connection. You'd read it benechad. Here you read benechad. It's unusual. And notice that there's a Masoretic note on it. The Masoretic note says that this form occurs four times with the makeif. All right. So I actually did a check with accordance just to see. And lo and behold, the four times are here in Genesis 30, 2 Samuel 9, and Ezekiel. So accordance and the Masoretes agree. Those are the only four out of, compared to how Ben occurs with the makeif multitude of times. So the Masoretes had it right.
Where did you get that it occurred four times?
Notice in this line, 1, 2, 3, see the fourth circle? Okay, each note is separated by a period. So the note above Olel, that's the first line. Mm-hmm. The note above Shur, that's the second with that hay with the dot. The third one, the Seh, that's the second hay with the dot. And then the last note, see the Dalet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, four, that's the number four. Then Makeif is just a Aramaic shorthand for that dash, Makeif. So four times Makeif, and it refers to the bane there. Mm-hmm. All right. And, so there it is. Okay, so there's your trivia for today, guys. You can fascinate your friends. All right, so one son escaped. One son belonging to, now notice the lamed is possession, belonging to Achimelech. One son belonging to Achimelech escaped. Achimelech, the son of Achituv. All right, remember our kind of genealogy there. You have what? Eli, then Phinehas, and then Achitub, then Achimelech, and then Abiathar. So here's where I sketched that out for you guys a couple weeks ago. So here we are at Abiathar, who becomes a main character in David's life, all the way through the time that Solomon became king. All right? Ushmo, and his name was Abiathar. Vayivrach, and he fled acharei David, and he fled after David. All right, good. Questions on 20. Yes.
With the Bain Echad.
Yes.
Is that like son of one? Is that normal that they put the number?
Well,
why wouldn't they just put the one son instead?
The number. Remember, Echad, the number one, functions most like an adjective of all the numbers. Number two is second, and then the other ones follow. So, the number one can follow the noun as well as come before.
Okay, right. Why does it have that dash?
That's the makeif that I was talking about.
Yeah, why do they need?
Well, the dash closely connects two words in
why
reading.
Why do they need to be closely connected?
Well, sometimes for reading purposes, they want you to read it close. And all it's telling you is that those two words are closely related, and the accent jumps from that first word to the second, so you read it more quickly. That's why it usually shortens to Benecha.
Okay.
But here with the Bane, it stays long. Why it stays long, I don't know. It's just part of the tradition that the Masoretes had, and that they marked happens three other times in the whole Old Testament. That's what amazes me, that they actually knew that.
So would you maybe push it to as far as to say one and only? I mean, just there was one
I don't know.
Escape, because that's...
Because Echad can simply mean one son or a son. Kind
is
of
this all the
general
priests
general
of Israel at the time?
I don't think so.
Okay, just...
No, I don't think so. The ones that were gathered, priests. No. Yeah. Right. That's a good question. I'm assuming that there were others because Samuel would make a circuit around, remember? And Nob was probably one of those places. Good. Verse 21. Vayagade Evyatar la David. And Abiathar reported to David from Nagad, okay? Ki harak Shaul et Kohane Yahweh. He reported, here's an object clause, that Saul had murdered, killed, harag, the priests of the Lord, Kohane Yahweh. Vayomer David. Then David said to Abiathar, Yadati bayom hahu ki sham doe ha'aromi ki haged yagid la'sha'ul. Okay. I knew, Yadati, I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, ki sham doeg ha'aromi. I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that haged yagid, that he would certainly tell. Notice the haged is an infinitive, then it strengthens probably his affirmation. I knew that he most certainly would tell it, report to Saul. Pause. Now here we have kind of an obscure phrase. Anu ki saboti bekol nefesh beit avika. Okay, you guys know what saboti is, just in and of itself, right?
Sabav.
Sabav means to turn. This is a call, perfect, first common singular. It's a savah, that's why it has that weird form. You might want to say, oh, it's a PL or something like that, but it's a call. Okay, but it literally means, I turned in all the lives of the house of your father. See, what does that mean? It's kind of an unusual meaning for saboti. And notice that your versions, if you look down at verse 22b, the Septuagint has Amy Itias, I am guilty. Compare also the Syriac and the Vulgate readings. So they're reading that, whether it's a different text, I don't know, probably just interpreting it as I'm responsible. See, I'm responsible for all the lives of the house of your father.
When it says compare Syriac and Vulgate, does that mean the day of the same
day? They have the same one thing as, yeah. Right. So the Syriac and Vulgate are following the Greek. Yeah. Okay, and that's probably what it means. Somehow it's just an odd expression. Okay. Verse 23, Shiva iti al tira ki asher yevakeshet nafshi yevakeshet nafsheka ki mishmeretata imadi. Okay, Shiva is from Yashav, and it's an imperative call with one of those haze, paragogic haze on the end of an imperative, like you see it on a jussive or the cohortative.
They also call it a volative.
The volative forms, especially on the cohortative. The cohortative has that hay. It's not called a volative hay, but the infinitive is one of the volative forms. So he's just making a request here. Stay iti, stay with me. Altira, don't be afraid. Okay, ki asher, for the one who yevakesh is seeking et nafshi, for the one who is seeking my life, yevakesh is seeking nafsheka, your life. For the one who is seeking my life is seeking your life. Okay, certainly ki mishmeret, protection you have. Now I'm supplying the verb mishmeret. Notice it's from the root shamar, guard or keep. So here, protection certainly you have imadi with me. Questions through 23? Alright, good. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 23. Very good. Vayagidu la David lemor, Hine pelishtim nilchamim bikila vehema shosim et hagaranoth. Okay. Then they told David, saying, now notice that they, you don't know who the subject is. This is just how Hebrew does the impersonal forms. In English we would say it was told to David, it was reported to David. The narrator isn't interested in telling us who or how. So it just reported to David, saying, look, the Philistines are nilchamim, fighting. Nifal, participle from lacham. The Philistines are fighting in Keilah, in Keilah. And again, on your map, you can see where that is. You can pass around. Let me point it out. It's right there. So he's come up from Judah. He's right here in Judah, and now he's heard about Keilah. Again, you can pass that around. That's what we'll be talking about here. All right. So he heard that the Philistines were fighting in Keilah. So they were a very big threat in the region still. Remember, the Philistines were through this whole time. Vehema, and they, shosim, is from shasa, call, participle, masculine, plural. Shasa means to spoil. And they were spoiling et ha-garanot. This is a noun, plural, from goren. Goren means threshing floor. So they were spoiling the threshing floors. So obviously it was a time of harvest, and the Philistines were attacking and taking the grain.
And it's plundering, Shasa.
Plundering is much better than spoiling. Plundering is much better, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were plundering the threshing floors. All right? Verse 2. Vayishal David by Yahweh. Okay, now, David inquired of Yahweh. Notice you have that Sha'al plus Beit, which we've seen before. So he was asking Yahweh. David inquired of Yahweh. We can only think that he did it by means of the ephod, and maybe Abiathar. All right, we'll see a little later. Unless, again, those weren't the only priests. You know, we can also assume that there were other priests of the Lord that he could have done this with. But it is significant that the ephod is mentioned earlier, see? And I think we'll see it mentioned again. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, Ha elek vehiketi ba pelishtim ha'ela. Should I go? That's just an interrogative, hey? Should I go and hiketi? Should I strike from Nakah? Should I go and should I strike the Philistines? Here you see Nakah with a bait. Strike the Philistines, ha'ela, these Philistines. Okay? By Yomer Yahweh el David. Then Yahweh said to David. See, notice we don't know how this happened, and we're assuming that if he inquired of the Lord, that's usually an indication that he went through a priest and the priest brought an answer to him. That's what I'm assuming. So that it's just a shorthand. Yahweh said to him, in other words, the ephod gave a certain answer, however they divined the Lord's will. All right. So I don't think it's necessarily means, oh, he had this divine revelation.
They already had a form of shorthand with when Abiathar said that Saul killed the priest when he, in reality he did.
Right.
Right. So they'll just insert.
Right. Just like we do, because we all know how the narrative's going.
Yeah.
Okay. So Yahweh said to David, "Lek vehikita, go and strike the Philistines." Notice you have an imperative followed by a vav plus second masculine singular, perfect. Very common stylistic feature. Right. You could also have two imperatives. But I looked this up, and with haka, you never have lake followed by haka. You always have the second masculine singular, even though the imperative of the hifil from naka occurs a lot of times. When it occurs with another imperative, it's the second masculine singular. It's kind of interesting. So I don't know why, if it has to do with the word itself. But anyway, go and strike the Philistines, the Hoshiata, and save et Keilah, and save Keilah from Yasha. Okay. Verse 3, Vayomru Anshe David. Then men of David said Elah to him, Hine, look, Anachnu po Bihuda. Look, we are here, we here in Judah are Yebreim. What's that? We here in Judah are afraid. Good. This is a call participle from Yahweh. Remember, stative verbs form their participles like this. Rather than the expected kotel, kotelim, yare, yareim. So, we here in Judah are afraid. Or we probably say, We are afraid here in Judah. Ve'af ki, here's an idiom, ve'af ki, how, and how much the more, okay, how much the more so if, Nelech, we go to Keilah. So we're frightened now. We're going to be really frightened if we go to Keilah because of the Philistines. All right? If we go to Keilah, El Markot, to the Markot, the battle lines. Remember, Arak means to arrange for battle, so you put a mem in front of it. And we saw this same word used in regard to, in the story of Goliath. All right? So if we go to Keilah, now notice how you have the, since Keilah ends in a hay, rather than having a directive hay, they have El Ma'akot, to the battle lines of the Philistines. Okay? By Yosef Od David. So David added to inquire of Yahweh. Notice how by Yosef functions here. It's a hifil from Yasaf. It's literally added to ask, but how would we translate that in English?
Ask again.
So notice the infinitive becomes the main verb, and you translate that Yosef as an adverb. So David asked yet again, inquired yet again of Yahweh. Okay? Let me end that verse. Vayaanehu Yahweh. Then Yahweh answered him. That's from Anna. Then Yahweh answered him by Yomer and said, Kum raid. Get up, raid. Go down. Get up, go down. Kum raid. So it probably kum functions more as an interjection. Something like, come on, go down. Or let's go down. Or something like that.
Yerad doesn't mean like,
literally get down. That's right.
Stand up and go down.
Yeah, see, and go down to Keilah. That's Yarad actually doesn't mean that kind of going down, but traveling.
Yeah.
Right. To Keilah. Ki ani notain. For I'm going to give the Philistines, Pelishtim, Beyadeka, into your hand. Okay.
Dr. Slaska, is that highly unusual to have a paragraph break in the middle of a verse like that?
There's two of them in there.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. You usually see them at the end of verses. There's a little note about them, isn't there? Two. I didn't even check the note here. What does the note say?
Some manuscripts omit the.
Okay. Yeah. So at the end of. Yeah. See. So some manuscripts do omit them in both places. So yeah, I guess it is unusual.
Is that all Masoretic stuff? The paragraph breaks and the versing.
It is, but remember the Masoretes. Depending on the family, had slightly different traditions. Okay, this is the Ben Asher family. And so, again, the manuscripts, they had also little different traditions of vowel pointing and all that. And so you have these works, actually, that talk about these differences, these handbooks that you probably don't want to get into in this lifetime, that talk about stuff like that.
So it was the Codex Leningrad kind of a compilation of several different schools?
I don't think so. It was Ben Asher. It's Ben Asher, but what you're getting here is just the evidence that the editors are putting out there for you of other manuscripts. Now, the Ben Asher may have had slight differences depending on the manuscript. There were slight variations. But Ben Naphtali was another family. The Aleppo Codex, I think, is Ben Naphtali that they're making an edition on. So those kind of differences you're going to see.
Yeah. The end of that, you said, I am going to give.
Yeah, because I'm about to give, because the participle is quite often used for something that's going to happen in the near future. Verse 5. Vayelech David. So David went. Va'anashav and his men. David and his men went. Keilah, to Keilah. Vayilachin ba Pelishtim. And they fought against the Philistines. Vayinhag et Miknehem. And he drove, this is from Nahag, drove off et Miknehem, their cattle. From Mikneh, cattle. He drove off their cattle. Vayakbahem. And he smote them. Okay? Maka Gerola. And he smote them with a great blow. He handed them a great defeat. Vayosha David et Yoshbe Keilah. And so David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. verse 6. Vayhi bivra hevyatar ben Ahimelech el David ke'ila ephod yarad beyado. Now it happened in the fleeing of Abiathar the son of Ahimelech to David, to Keilah. Okay? So notice this is a temporal clause. So it came to pass when Abiathar fled, Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David at Keilah, the ephod went down beyado in his hand. So notice it's kind of telling us, okay, this is how David was able to inquire of the Lord.
You would have expected that earlier.
Yeah, you would have expected it. See, notice, right, and that's why there's a question. We can't assume always that the narrative is in chronological order, because there's a question. The question was raised in my mind: when did Abiathar join David? Was it when he was in Judah, or was it when he was in Keilah? You know, because the fact that you have this line seems to imply that maybe he didn't join up with him until he was in Keilah. Although it could also be that he just fled with David to Keilah and took the linen in his hand. See, you could translate that L more like Eim. When Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, fled with David to Keilah, the ephod came down in his hand. Maybe that's the best way to take it. So it's kind of a back. Remember, we've seen in narratives before that they don't always go in chronological order. Sometimes they'll backfill stuff. All right. Okay, verse 7. We got to stop here. You guys want to do one more verse?
Yeah, sure.
All right, do.
Okay.
Vayugad l'Sha'ul, and it was told, reported to Saul, Ki ba David Keilah, that David had gone to Keilah. Vayomer Sha'ul, and Saul said, Nikar to Elohim Beyada. Okay. Nikar means to recognize. It can mean to recognize, to disguise, to regard favorably, those kinds of things. The PL only occurs like 5 times to the hiphil, which is more common. Maybe like 6 or 7 times is common. All right. And the PL, when you look at it, occurs mainly like in Job, Proverbs, here, one time in Deuteronomy 32, which is very poetic. So, it was told to Saul that David had gone to Keilah, and Saul said something like, God's the subject. God has delivered him into my hand. See, it's an unusual meaning for Nakar. God has delivered him into my hand. That's how most translate it. And again, notice you can expect that the notice how the Septuagint has sold him, has handed him over. Symmachus has that. And the Syriac has shalom, means to make payment to, or something like that. Mashar means to transfer. And the Vulgate, again, tradidit, which means
handover.
There you go, see?
Nice.
So notice it's all translating that kind of language. Trying to make sense of that word. Okay? Ki nisgar, certainly nasagar, means to shut. If you ever want to remember this, I always remember this word because I think of the guy shutting a cigar on the door when he closes it. So, sagar, it's a common word, yeah. Certainly he is trapped, or maybe a little more woodenly, he has shut himself in. Okay, lavo, by going. Here's an infinitive. By going Be'ir into the city, Dela time, or into a city with doors and a Berea, with doors and a bar. All right, so Saul thinks he's got him trapped. In other words, David must have been hard to catch because he's always hiding in caves or in open territory. And maybe that's why Gad before said, don't stay in this stronghold because you're trapped. You know, so that he left. Maybe that was his thinking behind it. But here you get Saul's thinking, he's in the city, and notice Keilah's not far from Gibeah. So he's going to be on the move here. Good. Any questions through verse 7?
Can I ask a question, verse 3?
Yeah.
Where it says, Ki Nelech?
Yes.
That's a concessive key right there?
Well, you have to read, you have to read the key with the off. It's really an idiom. So that you have to read this thing in context of the whole thing. So notice the first part says, here in Judah we are afraid. Ve'av ki now is kind of now expressing in contrast to that or in relationship to that. That's why I translate, how much the more so when we go to Keilah. All right, so that's what I. So you can't. You don't want to take ki apart from ah.
Right.
It's one kind of idiomatic construction. All right. All right. Good. You guys have a blessed break, and we will see you on the first Thursday.